Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigating Your 20s. My name is Scott Rockman, and I'm the host for this podcast. For this episode, we're going to talk about how couples fight and how you can better improve your communication style with your partner when you're giving constructive feedback. In my conversation with Molly, I learned so much about Dr. John Gottman's research, where he could predict with over 90% accuracy whether a couple would get divorced within a few years after his initial observation of them. There is so much to unpack here in this episode, and I'm excited for you all to listen. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Navigating Your 20s. I'm your host, Scott Rockman, and I am joined yet again by Molly Cattermine.
So excited to be here.
No, thank you for recording multiple episodes. I really appreciate it. So my first question for you revolves around something that you talk about in all of your classes, which is John Gottman's research around romantic conflict. So I was wondering if you could start us off by just giving us a brief overview of John Gottman and what his research entails.
Oh, John Gottman. So his lab and at the University of Washington was called the Love Lab. And Gottman, from the early 90s, started following couples longitudinally. And what he started doing, which was really smart of him, was that in addition to the way research had typically been done on couples leading up to this point, which was asking them questions and giving them surveys to fill out and interviews, he started doing more physiological measures as well, because what he always said is people lie. So you can listen to the words they're saying, but you can also watch their heart rate and watch their respiratory rate and, you know, the skin conductance, and take blood samples and saliva samples and look at their cortisol and look at their, you know. So what he started to realize was that the thing that was the most important in relationships was how couples handled conflict. And so what he would do is he would invite couples in to the lab, and he would wire them all up and ask them to talk about something that they tend to argue about, whether that was money or kids or chores or sex or whatever. And he'd give them about 20, 25 minutes. And even if they were polite in the first couple minutes of their conversation, you give couples a topic and they're going to start fighting about it. And he was able to predict with about 96 or 97% accuracy which of those couples would be divorced within 7 years.
And he didn't tell them what he thought, right?
No.
He just tracked. So it wasn't a self-fulfilling prophecy.
He tracked them. He tracked them. When he let the cat out of the bag as he started to publish his research, couples wanted to know. You ethically can't do that. The path that he ultimately went on was he just does workshops now for couples, because for him, it really became unethical to not give them the information that might help them.
Exactly. So speaking of these workshops in his research, he found that there was four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So can you outline what those four horsemen are?
Absolutely. So the four horsemen in no order are criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. And I can...
Yeah, please elaborate on that.
Criticism is attacking someone's character globally. That will typically be in statements that start with "you always" and "you never."
So absolute statements, right?
Like your partner doesn't call you after work when you're expecting them to call you, and your response is, "You never call me. You always choose your friends over me." And, you know, criticism is used, I think it's either equally by both partners or maybe slightly more by females. I think females may use it slightly more than males. But what he would say is what you would want to do instead of criticize is complain, and change your criticism to saying something like, "I thought that you were going to call me after work and I was hurt."
Yeah, it reminds me of "I feel" statements.
Exactly.
Right? There isn't blame. It's taking accountability.
Yeah.
This is, you know, your partner loves you and cares about you, so they're going to want to respond to your authentic emotions.
Because if you do the "you always" and "you never," it leads exactly into the second horseman, which is defensiveness. We all know what it feels like to be defensive. You're not going to accept responsibility because you've been put in this position of, you know, you did something wrong. And what it feels like is you did something wrong, and you always do something wrong. And so what happens is I didn't say I was going to call, or you're too sensitive, or, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they throw it right back at you.
They throw it right back at you, and everybody does it. Everybody equally does the defensiveness thing. It's almost a natural reaction to criticism.
Sure.
So the third horseman is contempt, and according to Gottman, that is like the biggest predictor of divorce. Contempt is when you really, in a toxic way, disrespect your partner. You mock them, you're sarcastic, you might belittle them, you might do this with words, you might do this with gestures, you might do this with facial expressions, body language. And, you know, contempt is used equally by both genders. And the thing that Gottman would say is there's just no place for contempt in a healthy relationship. And he even calls it sulfuric acid for love. Like, it kills love. It wow. literally kills love. And that sort of leads into the stonewalling, which is the fourth horseman. The stonewalling is physically or emotionally withdrawing from conflict. Physically meaning you might get up and leave the room, or you might just absolutely shut down. And males stonewall more than females.
Gotcha.
Like 80% of the time it's males. And we think that that's probably because of the way males are socialized to keep their feelings to themselves. But also males physiologically, and this is the beauty of Gottman's research, is that when we measure males' physiological reaction to conflict, they get more worked up quickly than females. Like, their heart rate goes up quicker, their respiratory rate goes up quicker, they start sweating more. So when we are in that emotionally heightened state, we can't form rational responses as well. So, you know, what Gottman would say is that males are like, I can't say anything else, it'll just make it worse. But that makes females angry, like, don't ignore me.
Probably feel shut down or
right.
invalidated.
Exactly. And they feel like, you're just ignoring me now. What are you giving me, the silent treatment? How mature is that? And so what you were saying about needing a break is, you know, the beautiful thing that Gottman also gives us is the antidotes to all of this. So for stonewalling, tell your partner, I'm overwhelmed, I need a minute. It's not that I don't want to talk about this. I can't talk about this right now. I need 15 minutes.
And sometimes verbalizing that,
absolutely,
I'm not stonewalling. You know, it shows I'm not stonewalling. I just need to collect my thoughts. And then sometimes even
I need to calm down.
I could see it de-escalate the situation.
Absolutely.
Because then you both have a chance to breathe,
right,
and then you come back.
Exactly. And gather your thoughts and take a deep breath. And
interesting.
Yeah. So the idea of complaining instead of criticizing takes the defensiveness out of it.
Yep.
And taking a little break takes the stonewalling out of it. Now, the contempt, Gottman is very clear on this, that we all get ugly. It's not like it's never going to happen in healthy relationships, but it is very detrimental to healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And
can you give an example of contempt? Just because I know you've talked very openly about your relationship with your husband, Renee, of 20 years.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, can you talk about an example of contempt in
absolutely
your relationship?
Absolutely. And I wish I couldn't, and I'm not proud of it, but a blessing and a curse of having a PhD in human development is that you know this stuff. That's the blessing. The curse is that you talk about it and then your partner knows about it too. And
he can
throw it back in your face.
He can use it to challenge
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, which is actually a blessing too.
Yes.
So Renee and I have three children. Our oldest, Finley, is 18 now. When Finley was one, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that is important in this story because, as anybody that has a family member with type 1 diabetes knows, it becomes a new normal. It is challenging to manage until you get the hang of it. But even then, it's just something that you have to manage. And that means insulin and all of these diabetic supplies are part of your daily life in order to keep your kid healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this too, because it's the truth. In heterosexual relationships, when there's a child with special needs, the vast majority of the time, the moms do the management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Renee and I have an interesting life in that he is a musician and works at night. So when I would be teaching, and when I am teaching, and especially when the kids were little, he was a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of doing the daily parenting. Well, this one day, I was teaching late and Leo, our middle son, had a flag football game, and I was going to meet them at the field where Leo's game was. So I got there. They were already there, and Leo was on the field playing. Eli and Finn were, you know, running around. I saw Renee. I walked over. When Eli and Finn spotted me, they ran over to say, "Hi, Mom." And I noticed that they both had snacks from the snack bar, which is fine. They had little bottles of Gatorade and chips or bags of candy or whatever. Well, when you have a child with diabetes, the first thing that comes to mind when you see your child eating something that has carbs in it, did you check your blood sugar and did you give yourself insulin? And as the mom who is the one that manages that on a day-to-day basis, and at this point we were still very much managing it for Finn. Finn was not managing it for himself. He was probably, I'm guessing, 9 at this point. Gotcha. I said to Renee, my loving, wonderful husband, or maybe I even said it to Finn. I don't even remember. I probably said, "What was your blood sugar? And did you give yourself insulin?" And it became very clear that Renee's eyes sunk and his shoulders sunk. And he said, what he said was, "I forgot the backpack." We just called it the backpack. That's what has all the supplies in it. The insulin, the blood sugar checker, the glucagon, everything that we need to manage Finn's, you know. Everybody was like, right. Well, I did this. I wish this is audio so nobody can see me, but I'll describe it as best I can. I went, in addition to rolling my eyes and shaking my head and looking at Renee, probably like, "You're an idiot, and I wouldn't have forgotten the backpack. And now that you are such an idiot who's forgotten the backpack, our child who's diabetic has high blood sugar, and one of us, which will be you, will run home and get the backpack. And what a pain in the ass all of this is because you're such an idiot." Right. So all of that is communicated in a sigh, an eye roll, and a kind of a head shaking.
And probably the way that you were looking at him, too.
Absolutely. And Renee looked at me and he went, "Contempt." And he pointed at me and he went, "That's contempt." And I was like, "Oh, my God." I kind of even get it, kind of chokes me up thinking about it, because you feel, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. I didn't mean to do that. And yet there I did it. I did it, right?" And fortunately, we were able to work through it right in that moment, right? Because he knows the stuff, like I know the stuff. That doesn't mean that he didn't feel hurt by it,
yeah.
Right? And then what Gottman would say is, then it's all about the repair attempt. What do I do? And the repair attempt in a healthy relationship needs to include some sincere apology, but also some physical touch. Let me hold your hand. Let me lean into you and physically say, "Babe, sorry."
So what I wanted to unpack with you is, a lot of people listening might say, "Well, Molly was right to be so frustrated and upset about this situation." So most people would convey emotions probably very similar to how you did. So I'm wondering, what would be a better way in that situation for you to have responded?
As soon as I saw Renee and Finn's reaction of, and in my mind, I know, okay, we don't have the backpack. Take a deep breath, Molly. Nothing can be changed. We don't have the backpack.
Yep. And he clearly feels horrible.
He feels horrible. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to make him feel more horrible, other than he's going to get angry and defensive, and rightly so, if you're going to disrespect him in a contemptuous way, right? The backpack is not here. Your kid is not going to die. We live 5 minutes away. We'll go get the backpack, right? Take a deep breath and say, "Okay, let's go get the backpack." You don't have to be, "That's okay." You don't have to be false about it. And you can even say,
"Yeah,
and
I'm feeling very frustrated."
You can use humor to de-escalate your own, you know, or you can just say, "I'm frustrated and it's frustrating for me."
I love you sharing that story, because it's so helpful for people to really personalize a story like that. And specifically the fact that you could identify that you had made a mistake in the moment.
Yep. I want to say, too, that's an example that I think people could say, well, Molly was right. I mean, that's Finn's well-being, right? I could probably do that if, like, Renee leaves his shoes out. And, like, I wouldn't leave my shoes out, right? Yeah. So, again, like...
It's a similar look.
You know? Step back. What's the, you know, what is it that you're really frustrated with? And again, Gottman would say, when people ask him, what do couples fight about? You know, obviously the big answers are money and children, but he would say couples fight about nothing because they fight about things that they're not talking about. So your socks on the floor is the buildup of not having been honest with the things that I'm frustrated with up until that one thing, you know, was the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's all about communication. Yep. And I love that you've identified, you know, Gottman's research, which shows different ways that we can still communicate frustrations in a relationship in a collaborative way.
Yep.
And so I want to close out this podcast with general advice you have for any listeners based on 20 years of marriage and your research and talking with students and friends. Do you have any specific suggestions for people giving constructive feedback to their partner or just ways that we could innovatively fight with someone?
Well, I would definitely say check out any of Gottman's, any of his work. He's published several books. He's got several, you know, tutorials on YouTube. You don't have to dig far to find Gottman's work. I would also say when you are in a relationship with someone, maybe the idea of you being the one that gives them constructive feedback is maybe that's not your role. You know, sometimes we just need our partner to listen. And maybe then you ask. And I think that would be my advice. Are you looking for feedback or are you looking for an ear?
And then you allow them the opportunity to convey their needs to you.
I just need to vent, babe.
Yep.
I just need to vent about this. I don't need to problem solve this right now. I just need you to wrap me up in a burrito blanket, bring me a cup of tea and listen to me vent and not problem solve this and not give me constructive feedback on how I could have handled it. And you could even say, and some of this is going to be about you and I just need you to hear it. And then you need to say it in a way that is complaining and not criticizing.
Yeah. It's all about respecting the other person.
It really is.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope that you will come back next week for another episode of Navigating Your 20s.